This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. It is now 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, January the 23rd. We will get up to date on the latest recall news this hour and other top stories in state politics with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and we will also hear from Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee, Chuck Kornbach, who covered a pro-Governor Walker rally over the weekend, and he also covered a news conference by Tom Barrett, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, one of the potential Democratic challengers in a recall election. So stay with us for an hour-long State Capitol Report and join in with your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sean Johnson joins us first. Sean is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. And Sean, you were there when a million some signatures were dropped off at the Government Accountability Board last week?
I was, and yet we didn't know what the number was going to be until the day of the day they turned them in, that afternoon, actually.
And now there were the organizers say a million, more than a million, were collected to recall Governor Walker. But they also, in total, 1.9 million for the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the four Republican state senators.
Yeah, according to the numbers that they submitted, they've got more than a million for Governor Walker. They've got more than they got roughly 845,000 for Rebecca Clayfish, lieutenant governor. There was some question of, can you get that many signatures for a lieutenant governor? And according to their numbers, they have. And then for the state senators who are up for recall, there are four of them, four Republican state senators, each, according to the Democratic Party's numbers, would have enough for recall. And so you actually, it was kind of, you had crowds outside of the Government Accountability Board offices in downtown Madison, crowding the sidewalks, spilling out of the street. And Julie Wells, who basically signed the paperwork to start off this recall, stood from the back of a moving truck full of petitions and announced what they'd accomplished to the crowd.
What we have done in just 60 days is monumental. We have successfully collected more than 1 million signatures.
And after that, volunteers locked arms along the sidewalks. You basically had a corridor to where the only people who could go from that truck to the front door of the Government Accountability Board's offices were people carrying these boxfuls of petitions. And box after box made its way in. And, it's kind of like the crowd, they had a lane or so blocked off for traffic because the crowd was just spilling into the streets.
Yeah, and I think I heard that every county was represented in the delivery of these petitions. So now all of these petitions then are in some secret undisclosed location.
We don't know where they are right now, although you can watch what's happening with them on the Government Accountability Board's ever popular recall cam, which has no sound and not much going on, but you can watch people scanning these petitions in so that they're in digital format right now. And eventually we'll learn where this undisclosed location is and begin a lengthy review process for these things.
I have posted a link to the recall cam on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and reading along with the Twitter feed that goes along with it is quite funny.
Not affiliated too with the Government Accountability Board, but right. Very humorous.
Yeah, it is. Well, so recall organizers and critics of Governor Walker are elated, I take it.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, they needed to get 540,000 signatures. A year ago, there was some question like, can you sustain that type of energy for a year and still force a recall election? Nobody's ever done it before. They said going into this, we're going to shoot for 700,000, and they got a million. So it's kind of beyond their expectations. And the question now is, what next, basically? And it's not like just turning these things in means there's going to be an election tomorrow. It's now in the hands of the Government Accountability Board, and Director Kevin Kennedy was asked last week, so what's the timeline now that you have these things?
we really don't have any sense. There's so many variables in the process. There could be a large number of challenges. The court's order 2 weeks ago adds significant time constraints for us to make reasonable efforts to identify duplicates, and we have to work through what's the best way of doing that. So it's very difficult to say at this point.
And, you know, talk about unexpected challenges. He references a court order there. That was a Waukesha County court order that said the Government Accountability Board had to change the way that it reviewed petitions. And so they are trying out software for the first time in this recall process to try to identify duplicates. It was already uncharted waters here, and now this is an element that's also untested. Another unexpected factor that Director Kennedy mentioned last week, he had hoped to have 50 temp workers to handle all this mm-hmm. paperwork to begin the, you know, to start things off. Only has 30 right now. The reason being, one of the requirements to be hired as a temp worker to do this work is you can't have signed a recall petition.
Ah.
Director Kennedy says that's hard to find someone who hasn't signed in Madison, given that you have a million people who've signed statewide, and Madison's such a Democratic stronghold.
Yeah, so now these workers, though, are scanning all of these petitions, and there is some software that's going to see if there's duplicate names or something. And then the parties, too, or both sides are going to be able to look at them themselves to kind of look at who signed and who didn't and whether there's fake names.
They're going to have their own databases. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, the board, I think, is using handwriting and recognition software. Again, sort of untested here. The governor's campaign... we'll be scrutinizing these, although, you know, the governor has said he thinks there's probably enough signatures to force an election here and that there's not going to be able to strike enough to overturn that. I mean, if you look at the numbers, you assume the Democrats' numbers are correct. Let's say they got a million. You have to strike roughly 450,000 plus in order to negate this election. So that's a lot of duplicate names or fictional names, probably not going to happen. But the Government Accountability Board, especially under this judge's ruling, has to go through all these and has to identify duplicates and go through that process. So they're going to ask a judge this week for extra time. Normally they'd have about a month. They're going to ask for an extra month and kind of leave it open to where they could ask for more time after that, and they may need it.
So at least 60 days.
Right. Just to review. And then, there's various other timelines that sort of kick in after that. Could have another timeline kick in if we have a primary on the Democratic side, as it sounds like we might. So pinning an exact date for when an election might happen is very hard at this point.
All right. Well, we'll continue talking about the recall news and other state stories that made headlines last week, and take a look at what is on tap this week as well with Sean Johnson, who is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. In just a moment after we check weather, we're going to welcome in Chuck Quirnbach. He is our Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in Milwaukee. And as I mentioned, he covered a pro Governor Walker rally in Wauwatosa on Saturday, I believe, and we'll hear how that went. And we'll welcome your thoughts, your questions, your reactions to all of this recall news at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, lots of weather out there. Winter weather advisory for parts of southwest and south central Wisconsin through late this morning, and for parts of north and north central Wisconsin until 6 tonight. There's going to be rain and freezing rain changing over to snow in parts of the state. There's also a dense fog advisory for parts of southern Wisconsin until 9 o'clock this morning. Several school closings and delays across the state as well, so please check on that before you head out the door. It's going to be a cloudy day with all that wintry mess, with highs today 27 in the north to about 42 in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, January the 23rd. This is our State Capitol Report. We are talking about all the big top stories in state politics from the last week and looking ahead to what's on tap this week as well. Joining us now, Chuck Hornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in Milwaukee. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Joy.
So you were at the Stand with Governor Walker rally in Wauwatosa on Saturday. How did that go?
Sure. Well, it was thankfully a sunny day, so the speakers were in the shade, but most of the audience was in the sunshine as they heard up to 3 hours of speeches from various candidates and potential candidates and governor's wife and governor's lieutenant governor and so on. It was actually a pretty well-run rally, and many points were discussed.
Yeah, so we're not going to get into crowd estimation here, but you can tell us what authorities or other media outlets are saying was the crowd estimate. People get really touchy about this. Started out in the hundreds, and then it approached 1,000 or more.
Well, I would say that it exceeded 1,000. Whether it got to 2,000, as some said, I'm not sure. But put it this way, the volunteer who had snowplowed the hillside, people would have had to stand on a hillside pretty much, that would have otherwise been about a foot of snow. The volunteer that had snowplowed the entire hillside made enough room for everyone.
Yeah, okay, good. So there was also a counter rally.
That's right. Before the Republicans' rally started, about 100 Democrats and their other critics of Governor Walker marched on the sidewalk, blew the vuvuzela horns, beat drums and so on, raised concerns about Governor Walker's latest, most recent record on job creation and so on. So the two sides were by and large separate, except there was one time when a recall Walker a supporter came near the front of the stage and started shouting, "Recall Walker." He was sort of shoved out of the way, and Wauwatosa police eventually let him away, though apparently no arrests were made. The vuvuzela was blown occasionally from the sidewalk about 100 yards away. So the Democrats and their supporters continued to make their presence known throughout most of the rally.
Yeah. So supporters of Governor Walker heard from a number of speakers, but not Governor Walker himself.
He was apparently out of town, one of the rally organizers said. So his wife was there. She said she had talked to him and talked about some points and made some points. And again, Lieutenant Governor Clayfish, the three or four of the U.S. Senate candidates were there. Perhaps the most lively one, as you might expect, was former Governor Tommy Thompson. Took off a blazer during his speech to show a red and white University of Wisconsin sort of coach's jacket, I guess if you'd call it, that had a white W on the back of it that Thompson says stands for "We Win."
Let's take a listen.
We are a red state, and we are not going to let them take us back to a blue state. Hello, high water, ladies and gentlemen. We are red.
Ooh, Tommy's got some fighting words there.
Lively, and maybe we all have that energy at Governor Thompson's age. But in equal time, Mark Newman also spoke, although he was at the very end of the rally when there were only a few hundred people left in the audience. Mark Newman, a Senate candidate, he took off a Packers jacket and put on a Scott Walker T-shirt. Other Senate candidate, Jeff Fitzgerald, the Assembly Speaker, was there. He talked mainly about what a tough time it was for lawmakers to do their jobs during the Capitol protests last spring. And then also a potential candidate, Madison business person Eric Hovde, I believe his name is, and he also got to speak as well. We did not see Frank Lissay, the other potential announced Republican Senate candidate.
Mm-hmm. And you talked to some of the protesters at both rallies to find out why they're there?
Sure. The rally supporters are the supporters of Governor Walker. One of them was Pat Coleman of Manitowoc. She says the governor's stance on collective bargaining has helped every school district in the state as more teachers are contributing more of their paycheck towards health insurance and their pension and supposedly allowing the school district to put more money into other things. Coleman says Governor Walker may not be everyone's cup of tea.
You know, they might not like him personally. They don't like the things he's doing, and maybe they don't like even the way he looks. But what he's doing for Wisconsin is right.
I realize I said cup of tea. There was a brief poll. One of the speakers asked the audience to raise their hands to say who was a Tea Party member, and there were, you know, a few dozen people that seemed to raise their hands in response to the question. But there are other supporters, small business people were there, retirees, and so on. It's just a reminder that between Milwaukee and Madison, there's a big collar of very Republican counties that seem ready to come out and support Governor Walker, either to help challenge some of the petition signatures or to work for him if there is a recall election.
Mm-hmm. And you also talked to a protester at the counter rally?
Sure. Before the Republican rally started, I talked with Alan Nichols of Wauwatosa. He says the agenda and implementation of it, Governor Walker and some of the GOP state senators, has been a travesty.
It's at the point where the only thing that we can do about it is try and remove, first of all, him from office, second of all, the four state senators. The recall petitions have been submitted against them. Remove them from office, start over, and get it right this time.
Yeah, so as I say, inside the rally, the Republican rally, there a lot of fun was made of the people protesting outside. As I said in the news piece, there's suggestions that the protesters against Governor Walker are lazy, are selfish. I think we will continue to hear that sort of theme from some of the Walker supporters that, the people had, yes, the state employees, including many of us, had to pay more for their pension and health coverage. Isn't it better than having lost their jobs, suggesting there was not a lot of layoffs in the state level or at some of the school districts because of Governor Walker's plan?
Yeah, that's right. We should. I sometimes forget to disclose that we are public employees, and we're affected by Act 10. Chuck, you also covered. We heard a news story. There was a news conference on Sunday from Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett.
Sure, Mayor Barrett spoke up, and he brought along Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca and some other key Democratic lawmakers to say that the Republicans in the legislature and Governor Walker have unleashed an assault, quote, on public health. Governor Walker's turned down on some federal health money last week, legislative votes on things like sex education in the schools and so on as part of an attempt, they say, to put ideology ahead of health doings in Madison, and it's yet another reason, perhaps, that voters might want to pay attention this spring. It's a sign that collective bargaining alone may not win the day with voters, with Democratic voters trying to recall Governor Walker. There's going to be other issues raised as well, not just the public health issue. Perhaps the John Doe investigation will come into more prominence and other things as well. Barrett and Barker both suggested they were not there at the news conference yesterday to talk about the recall, even though that's what the media asked him about afterwards. They're not ready to say that they're running, although Representative Barker said a lot of people are thinking a lot of decisions will be made in the next few weeks. Just a reminder that Mayor Barrett has two opponents in his mayoral reelection effort, and he doesn't want to give that, even though they're lowly funded candidates, he doesn't want to give the other candidates any momentum by saying, oh, he's running for governor when he's got a reelection bid to go for at the mayoral level.
Well, good. Chuck, thanks a lot. Is there anything else from this weekend or something you're covering this week that we should know about?
Well, these things seem to tend to pop up. I bet there will be something. But, we're looking at some things, and Sean and Noah's looking at as well, some things that are going to be going on in the state capitol, the mining bill and the wetlands bill.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee. And Sean Johnson stays with us, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. We will, in our next half hour, Sean, talk a little bit more about the potential Democratic challengers Governor Walker in a recall election. But I wanted to touch briefly before news time, fast approaching, this assault on public health that these Democrats accused Governor Walker of. I'm guessing that might have something to do as well with Governor Walker turning down the $37 million in health in federal money for health care exchanges.
Right, and this is this was something that the governor really actually embraced right after the campaign. He was talking a lot about we're going to design a health exchange that follows the principles of the free market, and you know it was very enthusiastic for a Republican governor, especially to come out and talk about an element of the Obama's health care plan. In those terms, he backed away from it sharply, though, last week and said that, he would be rejecting all of that money. That also means about $11 million that was set aside for healthcare programs for the poor as well. And, that's tucked into that, the decision to turn down funding. So, it's a decision that... resonated with his base. You know, the conservative Republicans came out and congratulated the governor on his decision. And it's a decision that, the other Republican governors around the country have made, but one that's going to cost the state of Wisconsin federal money.
We only have 45 seconds before a news break. We had a caller who just left us who wanted to know if Governor Walker would just say, I believe you have enough signatures to force a recall election. Could all this delay be avoided?
I'm pretty sure that the Government Accountability Board believes that it's their duty under the law to check all these signatures, and now under the Waukesha County Court ruling to check for duplicates. And so even if they know, well, we have 540,000 signatures, they believe they have to go through and check all of them for duplicates, so that could add to the time.
Talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and we will continue doing so, getting the latest on state politics after this check of the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 7:36 on this Monday, January the 23rd, and our state capitol report continues in this half hour with a look at some of the legislation that is making news at the state capitol. And Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, will talk about some of the potential Democratic challengers to Governor Scott Walker in probable recall election. And we welcome your questions and your views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sean was there when all of those petitions were dropped off at the Government Accountability Board office last week on Tuesday. 1.9 million signatures gathered, according to organizers, seeking to recall the governor, the lieutenant governor, and four Republican state senators. And again, we will talk a little bit more about who might run against Governor Walker a little bit later. But Sean, we need to get to some of the other legislative news that happened last week. I understand that the League of Women Voters asked a Dane County judge last week to throw out Wisconsin's voter ID bill.
This was the first hearing on their lawsuit, and the League of Women Voters lawsuit in state court basically says that Wisconsin's constitution carves out specific voting rights, and it also prohibits only two groups of people from voting, felons and people that that a court has determined are ineligible to vote. The league says that this voter ID law creates a third group of people that are prohibited from voting. They're disenfranchised, people who don't have a state ID. And so that's the basis of their suit. Didn't really get into that argument all that much, though, last week. It was the first day for oral arguments. The league wanted to, to pursue this right away. Lawyers for the governor and for the Government Accountability Board, or the attorney for them, wanted the judge to toss the case. He said that the person bringing it, the president of the board for the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin, couldn't prove that she was harmed by this. So, neither of those questions were answered, but the judge, Richard Neese of Dane County, made it clear that he wanted to move, quickly on this so that a pretty critical issue could be decided.
I think the people of the state of Wisconsin need to know one way or the other whether this law is constitutional. And we're clearly going to miss the primary, and of course, if it's constitutional, no harm, no foul. But if it's unconstitutional, that's a bad thing.
And he's referencing the February, I think it's 21st primary coming up here, the spring primary in Wisconsin. He says we're going to miss it, that this voter ID law will be in effect for that. Attorneys for the League of Women Voters would rather that the state didn't miss that, and they're likely to file for a temporary injunction, basically blocking the voter ID law from taking effect before that February, before that February primary. So it remains to be seen whether the judge would see it their way on that. He seems to want to kind of do a full hearing on this and pass it along, knowing that it's the state Supreme Court that's ultimately going to decide this thing.
That's right. And he has another hearing, I believe, was March 9th.
March 9th, but they scheduled something coming up on the 30th of this month, too. They rescheduled something, perhaps in light of the fact that, that they want to file that temporary injunction, file for it.
Last week there was a case involving lead paint.
There is a bill that's being pushed in the Wisconsin legislature that deals with the state Supreme Court's controversial lead paint decision of 2005. Broadly speaking, what that decision said was that you could sue if you had lead poisoning, or if you're suing because you were harmed from the effects of lead, that you could file a lawsuit against companies that made lead paint, even if you couldn't prove which particular company made the specific lead paint that hurt you. The business lobby hated this decision when it came out. And so last year, Republicans in the legislature actually said that, from this point forward, you can't file lawsuits this way. And so what now Republicans are trying to do in the state Senate, a couple of Republicans anyway, is they want to say, OK, from the time that we issued that decision in 2005 and last year, when this decision was the law of the land, we want to wipe that out, too. The issue with, one particular attorney and his clients is that that's going to basically totally change the legal landscape for lawsuits that have been, that are going forward on these. And so, the attorney for these cases, Peter Earle, actually stood up in front of a committee surrounded by his clients, mostly African-American children, and said, you're doing the bidding of the paint companies here. So we don't know that bill is going to go forward. It hasn't been scheduled for a committee vote yet, but it does have some pretty prominent law firms pushing it right now, lobbying firms.
I get it. Okay. Then a bill that will go forward, and in fact, there's a vote scheduled on the bill that would streamline the regulation process for mining in particular, that would help this proposed iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin?
Yes. And that committee vote is coming up tomorrow. There are a variety of amendments that Republicans say they're going to offer. Democrats say none of them are exactly game changers, that this bill still puts the interest of the mining companies ahead of the general public. But Republicans have said this is, they've struck, or they're going to strike that delicate balance, and that this is their big jobs bill of the session. But it is being written, it is being pushed at the behest of this mining company that wants to mine in, iron in Ashland counties up in northern Wisconsin. No idea yet whether the state Senate is going to follow the assembly's lead here, but it looks like the assembly is going to pass it out of committee tomorrow and possibly pass it out of the assembly floor later this week.
All right. And wetlands, the wetlands bill Chuck mentioned as well?
That may be on the assembly calendar later this week, and this is something that's going to change the way that you get permits to build in wetlands. And the biggest thing is it relies on mitigation, where if you harm a wetland here, you could make up for it under this law by basically paying for a wetland somewhere else in another part of the state. Republicans say that's a good balance to strike. Environmental critics say, that destroying a wetland, in a pristine part of the state and replacing it with one somewhere else isn't exactly the same thing as, preserving what Mother Nature took thousands of years to create.
Anything else on tap for this week that that will be coming before the legislature?
You have possibly an abstinence only a bill that would allow for abstinence only sex education coming up. It passed committee last week, and that could be put on the calendar at any point in the state assembly. And if it passes there, it would head on to the governor's desk.
We have Laura in Madison who has a question about the health care money that was turned down, the federal health care money. Laura, go ahead.
The thing that troubles me about this, among other things, but what in its stead has the governor proposed? I haven't heard anything from the governor about health care in Wisconsin, and I think some estimates are that there are 500,000 people without health insurance in the state.
Well, what in its stead, and on this particular issue, this money was for a health exchange, which would basically help people shop for competitive insurance, is a really layman's explanation of it, I guess. And if the state doesn't do this, and the federal health care law is found to be constitutional, the federal government will step in and they'll do an exchange for us. And that's part of the law. And so that's part of the reason the governor, after he won the election, you know, was out saying, we're going to do it our way. We're going to do it the free market way. You know, he had an idea for what kind of an exchange he wanted to create. And then somewhat unceremoniously just backed off from that last week in a press release. So, you know, if the healthcare law is found to be constitutional, then it's the federal government that'll decide what our health exchange looks like. If it's not, then you know that nothing happens.
I'm sure. Sorry, Sean. Yeah. Is he doing this in part because many Republicans would like to see and indeed believe that the federal health care reform law is going to be found unconstitutional?
Well, I think many Republicans. Anything with the word Obamacare attached to it, you know, whether it is an individual mandate or whether it's an exchange that follows free market principles. I mean, if it's attached to Obamacare, that is obviously not popular within the Republican Party right now. And so, you know, you can kind of look at that and understand why the governor, who's going to be facing an election here, wants to have the Republican base come out for him, might take this step. He said that it put Wisconsin in a dangerous situation if indeed a court does find this unconstitutional.
Before our weather break, briefly, Governor Walker announced an education reform plan yesterday as well. Was there any, a big surprise in that?
Yeah, he said last week is going to... This was going to be an education reform plan that had a variety of proposals that he's been talking about with State Superintendent Tony Evers, statewide teacher and principal evaluation system, a way to rate school quality, of a package of education reforms. No hard details on that yet, though. I mean, the governor has talked about these things in broad terms in the past. State Superintendent Tony Evers, who's been working on with this, put out a statement that said that, you know, he's not on board with any legislation so far. While he agrees with this stuff in principle, he hasn't seen the legislation. So, you know, as of right now, those two aren't exactly on the same page, though, you know, that may change depending on what gets released.
We're going to talk about the Democratic potential Democratic challengers to Governor Walker. Coming up as our state capitol report continues, former Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk became the first to officially launch a campaign last week, and we'll talk about who else might run with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions to 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Once again, winter weather advisories are posted for much of the state. Some rain and freezing rain turning over to some snow in southern Wisconsin, and the winter weather advisory for northern and central Wisconsin will continue until 6 o'clock tonight. Otherwise, it's going to be foggy as well this morning, so take care. It's slippery and it's foggy and it's a mess. Highs today, upper 20s in the north to the low 40s in the south. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock now on this Monday, January the 23rd. Coming up on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here on the Ideas Network, you can tune in for live coverage of Governor Scott Walker's State of the State Address. We will carry that live on the Ideas Network. We'll also be talking about the state of the state and have all sorts of guest analysts and lawmakers and political commentators and others all morning long on Thursday morning from 6 until 9 for plenty of reaction and discussion on the state of the state. And our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, you'll be covering that as well on Wednesday night, yes?
We will. So live broadcast on public radio and public television. Definitely a context in which we have not seen a state of the state before. A governor facing election, possibly not in the coming year, but, you know, in just a matter of months, potentially, and a strange election indeed.
Yeah, and I heard the general public will not be allowed in. I don't know if that's if that's the case usually or not, but people who are critics of Governor Walker might be hanging out in the rotunda and such.
They usually are, yeah. Mm. And, I mean, these are, I don't know if the entire crowd is usually invitation only, but it's... the bulk of it, at least, whether it's this governor or another governor, is you have invited guests up in the gallery. I'm sure there will be critics of the governor, though, at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Well, as promised, let's talk about the potential Democratic challengers to Governor Walker, should there be a recall election. And we saw a former Dane County executive, Kathleen Falk, toss her hat in right away.
Yeah, and you could talk about these candidates in a variety of orders, alphabetical, seniority, whatever, but I think Kathleen Falk you have to mention first, because nobody has been as definitive as she was last week. The day after petitions were turned in, she had a web video to supporters and announced she was running.
Hope has inspired this movement, and the people of this movement inspire me. That is why I have decided to run for governor, and we'll be making a formal announcement soon.
And it's been widely talked about that Kathleen Falk may be the favorite of the unions in this race. She alluded to the bargaining rights that they had lost under Governor Walker in her announcement, said that she would do things differently, that she had done things differently as Dane County executive. So, I mean, she has, having their support would be a big deal for her. The negatives for Kathleen Falk that her critics keep pointing out is that she has run in a statewide race twice now, in the 2002 Democratic primary for governor and the 2006 race for attorney general, and lost both times. The attorney general one particularly stung for Democrats because it was such a Democratic wave year. So she has, she has that idea that to overcome, the idea that she can't win statewide, but... you know, she's not the only candidate who's lost in a statewide race who we're talking about here either.
Yeah, and Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett is mentioned. He's lost mm-hmm. in a statewide race.
He's lost twice, yeah, yeah, in different circumstances. But his most recent loss was in very recent memory, in 2010, to Governor Walker. And so his name ID is the best of any of the Democratic candidates right now. And if you look at polls released by a Democratic polling firm recently, last week, maybe time's kind of getting away here, but they said that Barrett in a primary would have the best chance against Falk or against other candidates. But mm-hmm. So far he hasn't announced, but has certainly hinted that he's interested you know, in plenty of ways. He sent the signals. When you're having Sunday news conferences to attack the governor, you sound like somebody who might be interested in running against him.
Yeah. And we did know quite some time ago that Democratic State Senator Tim Cullen of Janesville was interested in this possibility.
Yeah, and, you know, Cullen, after Falk made her announcement, was very forceful as well. And, I'd say that if she's in, he's in. You get the sense from talking to him that he's not going to back out because Kathleen Falk or Tom Barrett is in. And, in fact, said that he would be making an announcement in a few weeks.
I think if we keep our eye on the ball, the goal is to remove Governor Walker. And I think I offer the best chance to do that.
The dig on Cullen among Democrats is that he's a guy who was at one point a Tommy Thompson appointee. You know, he went from being the Democratic leader of the state Senate to being a secretary under Governor Thompson, has worked with Republicans, is very much in favor of compromising, sort of healing political wounds. And that may not be what the Democratic base wants right now, and they feel like they've been hit and want to hit back. Cullen says, you know, if you look at his record, it's as Democratic as anyone else. He just has a different way of, you know, getting what he wants to get. And he's okay with getting 70% of what he wants instead of nothing.
You know, and there is another Democratic state senator whose name is out there, and I heard it for the first time last
week.
Yeah,
me too. Mm-hmm. I saw in the Journal Sentinel that she had met with union leaders to discuss a possible candidacy, and she was very, very happy to discuss that. Said this is State Senator Kathleen Vinehout of Alma. And she said that, you know, she's considering the race. She said there's no Democratic candidate that would deter her from running, you know, that she's not going to be scared off by anyone in particular. And when asked specifically, what do you think about Kathleen Falk? She had this to say.
A candidate that has maybe been put there because people think that it's her time. The people I talk to around the state are saying to me, no, this is not about a candidate that thinks it's her time. This is about a candidate that's going to be of the people, that's going to bring up and honor those people that have worked so hard to make this recall a reality.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know if she's going to run, but she definitely sounds interested.
Yeah. And we don't know if State Senator John Erpenbach is going to run either.
You know, according to, you know, that article that I just referenced there, the union said that he told them he wasn't going to run. I you know, I haven't mm-hmm. heard it from his mouth yet. When he spoke last week about the idea of a primary, it wasn't in terms of I would be the best candidate. It was in terms of it's okay to have a primary. So,
mm-hmm. And then a lot of people like Democratic State Representative Peter Barca of Kenosha.
Yeah, and he said that he's considering a run. Wouldn't say how strongly he's considering it, though.
I think it's important that we really take the time to analyze, you know, the right course, who would be the strongest candidate.
And then you have former Congressman Dave Obey, who was one of those first candidates out of the gate saying that they might run. But it sounds like at this point he really wants someone else to be in this race.
I've said from the beginning that I believe that Herb Cole and Tom Barrett are by far the two strongest candidates. The only way I would even consider running would be if those two didn't. And even then, I would consider it only to fill out the rest of Walker's term and not have any intention whatsoever running for re-election. But even then, I would strongly prefer not to do it, and I think that the two stronger candidates are Cole and Barrett.
So we already talked about Tom Barrett. What of Senator Herb Cole, who, by the way, was also mentioned by Peter Barca and by Senator Cullen? Both said they wouldn't consider running if Herb Cole got in the race. Spokesman for Herb Cole said, "Senator, this is quote, Senator Cole has no plans to run for governor."
Wow. Well, stay on it for us, Sean,
<All right. laughs>
and we'll hear you on Wednesday night and on our newscast Wednesday night, though, the State of the State here on the Ideas Network at 7. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.